Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, free us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, people of St. Luke's. I'm sorry I can't be with you in person for this sermon, but I'm glad to be able to join you virtually after the service for our pastoral conversation. Our sermon today focuses on the epistle from Romans. As an English major, I've long had a love for language and words, and certain words in particular intrigue me. This morning's collect contains one of my favorite words from the Bible. The word is loving kindness. It is, of course, a compound word made up of two words, loving and kindness. In today's collect, the word loving kindness is identified as a foundation. God's loving kindness is our sure foundation. I find this both comforting and compelling. Comforting because we need God's loving kindness, especially in these strange days, as we make our way through this constantly changing landscape of life in this pandemic, where the social fabric that knits us together seems to be unraveling and fraying and almost disappearing, leaving in its wake a world of isolation, uncertainty, and anxiety. The idea that in and through all this, God's loving kindness is here for us, this is comforting. It's consoling. It's like a cup of water in the dry desert heat. But there's more here, because this loving kindness is not simply a cup of water. Our collect reminds us it is actually our sure foundation. It is the place on which we stand. And I find this compelling. The water image, of course, connects us to our baptism. And baptism and the promise of the baptismal covenant do provide a strong foundation for all that we believe and for the way we try and live our faith as followers of Jesus. Baptism is the theme of the epistle today from Romans. Paul writes, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." I think there's a connection between loving kindness and this newness of life that Paul writes about. I believe loving kindness is the newness of life that God promises to us in our baptism. As followers of Jesus, we walk each day in God's loving kindness. And God's loving kindness is different and deeper than anything we can muster on our own. It is rooted in the very essence of God as our loving creator, as the one who made us and calls us into being. Today also happens to be Father's Day. And in the spirit of God often being described as a loving father, we could say that this loving kindness is what every father aspires to, hopes to provide for our children. Loving kindness is what we want to embody for others. Of course, more often than not, we fall short of God's loving kindness. We stumble. We are human and imperfect. But the promise of baptism is that when we stumble, God picks us up. When we fall short, God responds in love. When we sin, grace abounds. Not so that we keep on sinning, but so that we can see by God's grace that in baptism, Jesus has freed us to be transformed by God's loving kindness, to walk in that newness of life. As St. Paul puts it, should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? By God's grace, we live each day into the promise of God's loving kindness. Last weekend, I was in Pennsylvania for my niece's wedding. It was dramatically scaled back, of course. The small number of family and friends who were invited were clustered in households distant from each other. It was outdoors, and thankfully, the weather cooperated. It was a beautiful day. But there was much about the day that felt like a loss, like the joy of the moment was being overshadowed or undercut, not just by the pandemic, but also by the tension and division that has erupted in recent weeks in our country. Because it was outside, the grass was soggy from the rains that had fallen earlier in the week. The bride and the groom and I were standing on flagstones that had been put out for us on the soggy grass. And as we stood there, the stones reminded me of something I had said to them in our pre-marriage preparation conversations. I told them the heart of the wedding was the vows. The moment of the sacrament in a marriage service is not the words that the priest says or the bishop says. The sacrament is conveyed by the words and the promises that the couple makes to one another. Sometimes we can experience those vows and promises as something that can be hard to bear or heavy to carry. I told my niece and her fiancé to think of these promises instead as a foundation they could stand on, not unlike that piece of flagstone. It's a foundation that bears weight in difficult times, that can hold them up when they are feeling overburdened or overwhelmed, or when outside forces threaten to pull them apart. There are actually three sets of promises that make up the wedding vows. There are the vows that the groom says to the bride, the vows that the bride says to the groom, and then there's the promise that God makes to them as a couple, to walk with them each step of their journey, to be present with them for better, for worse, through thick and thin. The foundation on which they stand together is bound up in that same loving kindness that is the gift to us in our baptism, the loving kindness that God has for each of us. We all know that marriages, like people, sometimes get into trouble. Sometimes we stumble. Sometimes we break our promises. And when this happens, people get hurt. The couple themselves, the children, the family, their circle of friends. The pain seems to ripple out and even to radiate out. This is especially true when it's the marriage of a leader in the church. Promises may be broken by people, but God's promise is still there for us, like a sure foundation. God's loving kindness is the foundation we can stand on as we sort out all that we are feeling. It may be we're hurt, or that there's a sense of betrayal, a loss of trust, or anger, or sadness. Loving kindness makes a place for all our responses, and for us to work through our difficult and different feelings. This is how healing begins. And healing is all about walking in newness of life. Paul again writes, "For if we have been united with Jesus in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. If we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." To live in Christ is to be alive to God's loving kindness, the loving kindness that is revealed to us in our baptism, the love that holds us, the love that heals us. This is the foundation on which we all stand together, you and me, Wayne and Dana and their family. This is the gift of grace that enables us to see where we have fallen short, to recognize how we have stumbled, and to be embraced by the one who gives us a second chance, the one whose forgiveness is that loving kindness that makes space for whatever we are feeling, for our anger, our hurt, our sadness, as well as our healing and eventually our wholeness. When my daughter Kate was about 3, she was playing with one of those Russian nesting dolls. As she played with it, the outer layer came apart. She came running over to me with tears in her eyes, saying, "Daddy, I broke it." I took the pieces from her and showed her the doll that was inside. And I said to her, "No, Kate, you didn't break it. You opened it." God's loving kindness shows us that even when we think we are broken, sometimes something is being opened up in us, something that takes us to a deeper understanding of who we are, of who we were created to be, of who we are still called to become.